CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. We are live. It is Wednesday. It's the 4th. May the 4th be with you. This is a bit of Star Wars for the morning. Hooray! Okay. Good. Sorry. Nerds everywhere go, oh, yeah, it's May the 4th. And nobody else gives a damn. It's awesome. All right, this morning, coming to you live from Cape Town, we have Candace Mama. There she is. She's looking extremely sexy for this time of the morning. Did you go and get dressed? Did you go and get dressed up specially for us? That's amazing. Huh?
Of course I did. Yeah. Where else would I be going at this time of the morning, Gareth?
Well, I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, Cape Town is a very exciting place. You could be going anywhere. And in the
well, the question is, where would I be coming from?
Oh, that's would be the better question. That's a good question. And then in the studio in Johannesburg, we have Simpiwe Mthethwa. And in my house, which is being load shed, we have me, Gareth Cliff. It's very exciting this morning. Very, very exciting to be coming to you from at least two locations where Eskom has switched all the power off. Great.
Yeah, no?
How did you...
It's not a vibe.
How did you light up where you are, Candace? Have you got like a UPS or something?
Well, I have a magneto light. I'm not going to move it because then you won't see
okay,
me.
No, no, I believe
then
you.
I've got a ring light.
Right.
Then I have another ring light, just trying to figure it out.
It's so amazing.
That I don't look like a ghost.
No. It's incredible. Cause
oh, you've done a great job.
Look at this professional setup we've got going on here. No, no, this is impressive. You know, we've had other guests who are, oh, no, it's load shedding. You just see basically it's them in the dark. And, right. And occasionally you might see teeth or something. Right, Simpiwe?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, just after 7, you then like, oh, there's that person. Okay, this is really you. Like, I don't know
that's
who it's
what they look
to,
like.
But okay.
Right. Yeah.
So you really, like, did a great job, Candace. We can see your whole face. It looks like the sun is actually coming from the right side of your... Yeah.
Okay.
Right side of
I
your,
love
your
it.
Face.
Like,
yeah.
Well, that's a good job.
Yes, honey.
All right,
thank
so...
Thank you so much.
I already mentioned this
you
yesterday.
My morning.
I kind of remembered that we've got Slipper Day, which is happening on
yes.
Friday. All right, so on Friday it's Slipper Day. You can get your own pair of slippers and you put them on and you wear them. Maybe you're brave enough to wear them to work on Friday because it's all for a good cause. You can show your support by purchasing a sticker and a pair of funky slippers and tag Reach for a Dream, which you can find on all social media. Reach for a Dream. You can also tag any of their partners, Wimpy, South Africa, Baby City, South Africa, Dischem, Toy Zone, and Pick and Pay, who are all involved here. You can buy a sticker. All the proceeds then go to Reach for a Dream, which is an amazing organization. We've so often talked about them here on the show. What they do is they basically allow kids who have life-threatening illnesses, and they're busy fighting those illnesses in many situations, to have a dream reached. They can fly in a plane for the first time. They can go to the sea for the first time. They can meet one of their childhood heroes. It's lots of things that Reach for a Dream do, and all of it is so moving, and it's really, really special. And if you want to help them, then you buy a sticker this week, put on your slippers, put an image or a video up of you in your slippers, and you can put it on your socials with all those tags to get everybody else to join. So that's Slipper Day 2022, and that's the hashtag as well. Slipper Day 2022. Show us your slippers, Simpiwe. Listen, look at these. These are the best.
Are you guys ready? Drum roll, can I?
All right,
just
let's
be a bit dramatic.
Let's have a little drum roll here. All right. Dun, 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 dun. Wait, I'll give you a proper drum roll. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
There she goes. All right, I'm going to give you a little fanfare. How about that? All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. So this is what I'll be wearing this Friday on Slipper Day. Were you ever ready?
Look at those. Wait, look at those.
Look at these. They're like massive.
Amazing.
Those are the coolest. Those are the coolest.
Oh, man.
They're like blue, almost oversized toe slipper things.
Well, at least...
So this is what I'm going to do.
At least with them being blue like that, no one's going to think it's your actual feet, you know. They're going to think, oh, jeez, Pewee has huge, ugly, monstrous feet. with them being blue, they're going to know straight away they're slippers. So it's not that embarrassing, right?
Yeah. They look very comfortable. Like, I should not leave the house in them, but we shall see if we actually dare to even leave work in them.
So Congo Chris says, those look like my regular feet. Nice.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Congo Chris.
Nice. Very nice.
We're clearly not giving you foot massages anytime soon.
Oh, God. No, I don't like the idea of giving anyone a foot massage, huh? That's not one.
Oh.
It's not one of those things I would want. You, mm-mm. Someone else.
I mean, especially if they have used kryptonite looking like
okay, wait. I'm gonna, no. I have to defend the ugly toe gang, okay? We were born with it. It's not like we did this to ourselves.
Oh, are you part of the ugly toe gang?
I am indeed. I am.
So your toes have like a... They climb.
It's just like, you know, you can play music. Like
oh, you got really long toes.
No. So, no. They normal size toes, but they just have a lot of speed bumps. Like, they just like a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot going on. The bones just don't do what they're supposed to do. So,
that's so great.
You've said enough, Candace. You've said enough.
You know,
you have.
I know. I realize what I did to myself.
To deal with.
Listen, I think everybody either has an issue with their toes, or they think their toes are beautiful, and then they just haven't actually had them evaluated by enough people. Because I reckon there are lots of people with very weird toes going around. The thing that we were just talking about that got us onto this pretty bizarre subject is the idea that there are people who give foot massages. And, you know, I'm not really into feet. So there are lots of people who like doing that. They're like, oh, yeah, when I'm in love with someone, when I've got someone special in my life, I'll give them a foot massage. I'm never going to be that guy. I'm never going to go, oh, hey, you know, you look like you had a rough day, honey. Why don't you just lie down there or sit down in this chair? I'll give you a foot massage. Oh, no, never.
Okay,
not going to happen.
You do shoulder massages, or are you opposed to massages?
No. So I'll do a shoulder massage. That's no problem at all. But foot massage? Nah, not for me.
Well, what is it about, like, for me, they're clean and they're not, like, ghastly. Like, they're not, like, blowing you away with their, like, you know, weirdness.
Yeah.
Then I think they're fine. Most feet, I think, are okay as long as they're clean.
No,
if the person's not walking around barefoot and, like, soiling their feet, then I think it's okay.
And they have, like, big calluses. Yeah. They have big calluses and they've got, like, very, very, like, rough, like, coarse heels. And and they're dirty. They're dirty underneath. And
Simpy, are you too? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a bit picky when it comes to, you know, feet massages or foot massages. And I think, like, you're not like your nails are number one. Like, that's the first thing I look like. What direction are your nails going in? Are they going west, east, south, west? That's also very important. And then it's like, do you have corners? You know, how your heels, like, all of that. Do you take care of your actual feet? You know, foot care is important. And if you don't take care of your feet, then why should I then start treating them? Because in 3 weeks' time, they're going to be cracked again. So, no. No. I'm not doing that.
Well, this is something which obviously gets a lot of people talking. How long are your toes, Cheryl, says Congo Chris to Cheryl in the comments. Hell no, I'll give them a voucher. There are foot spas for that. So Cheryl and Congo Chris swapping information about each other's feet. Now, John Bad Dog, hell no, says all the women in my life were ballet dancers. They have the most beautiful feet. That's bullshit because...
That is not usually. I'm not going to say that you are fibbing.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to say that that is accurate to ballet dancers.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's
ballet dancers.
It's not usually the case.
But they put their feet through a lot just to be able to do those. You know, and I used to do ballet, like, when I was really young. So I know, like, yes, you guys, you really do put your feet through a lot. So those people, no, girls. No,
I'm playing ballet for my feet. Like, I think my shoes were perfectly formed, but a combination of ballet and badly fitted shoes caused the fiasco I now deal with as an adult.
You know, this is a whole subject. Some people could talk about this for hours. I want to move on, but I do think Sanele is kind of echoing my and Sipiwa's sentiments here. If you want a foot massage, take a walk, because you're not getting one from me. Yeah, good. All right.
Wow.
So here's the thing that Sipiwa wants to tell us about that she's tried this week. When did you do this? Over the weekend? The yoga?
Yes, over the long weekend. Yes, I tried yoga for the first time, guys. I was like, all right. A friend of mine is really into it, and she's been doing it for a couple of months. And she was like, you're doing nothing Monday morning, so let's go. And she convinced me to join her in, like, my first yoga session. And honey, child, like, shout out to people that do yoga. Your core strength is impeccable. Like, I was dying. I was like, okay,
now you,
and then they're like, just breathe in and relax. And it's like, time to meditate. Oh, what are your intentions for the day? And I was like, okay, this is very different from what I would have expected.
It's quite an incredible thing. Like, I've done one yoga session in my life. It was like this weekend away that one of my friends organized, and there were a whole lot of people there, and everybody was like, well, let's do this, because there were activities and things that people were doing. And one of the things is like, well, if you want to, you can do some yoga. So I was like, well, how hard could this be? I mean, like, my mom does it and my sister's done it, but I've never even been to a class. Geez, was that difficult? Those positions they get into, I couldn't do half of them.
You're struggling there, and they just, like, just get into this pose. And you're like, oh, excuse me, wait, give me up, wait, just let me up. No. And they're like, okay, just breathe in now.
Just
center everything.
It's very difficult.
And I'm like, wow.
Oh, just hang on. Like, hold, everybody stop the show. Michael says, no, I am out. Pointless to try. Show's slipping. Thursday's only worth the time. Bye, Michael. Cheers. Let's just give him a minute. Let's give him a minute to find something else to listen to this morning. Cheers, Michael. You fuck off. There we go. That's great. Perfect. Thank you. That's lovely. So the rest of us can carry on with our party while Michael goes and masturbates furiously in the corner. All right.
I mean, I don't know why it had to be a departure lounge, but okay.
We always like to say goodbye when someone decides that they've had enough of the show or that they've found something better, and Michael's no exception, so bye.
Yeah.
We're very nice. We like to wish our departing people well, and in this case, he's got other things to do, such as we also have other things to do. We've got to move on. But this yoga thing is it's an incredible, incredible way to be fit and supple, right? And so when some people told me about this yesterday, I'm like, well, that's going to benefit you in the long run. You come out of that.
Yes.
And if you do yoga these people who do it like twice a week or whatever, they are fit.
I'm those people.
Are you?
Oh, yes. Candace.
We've got those people.
How did you get roped into yoga? Like, tell us more.
No, but I've always wanted to do yoga. And then I moved to Cape Town, and the city's just filled with supermodels and, like, demigods.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, I need to figure my life out. Like, I don't want to be like the toad, you know. So I was like, what do you guys do? And they're like, we go to hot dog yoga. So I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
So then I started going to yoga. It was definitely not for fitness. It was for complete vanity, 100%. Okay. And I don't regret it. It's been a good motivator. It's good. It's good.
Oh, that's good.
And like you said, connection to your breath. That's
what I said. And breathe in and out and just relax. Like, I did feel a bit more relaxed afterwards. I was just like, whew, no, man. So I might continue with it, but I'm not sure. You're after all that stretching. I was like, I need to find some balance within me first.
But it is exhausting. You know, there are people who come out of a yoga session, and they're sweating, and you could run around the block and you wouldn't look so tired. It happens.
Yeah. But that's hot yoga.
I heard you there's hot yoga, there's what other yoga? Like, it seems like there's different types of yogas.
Yeah,
There's like the traditional yoga, which is done in a normal studio with like a fan and conditioning. Mm-hmm. Then there's like hot yoga, which used to be referred to as something else before that person got, you know, he became a little touchy-touchy. So now we call it hot yoga.
Oh,
and then there's, like, other kinds of yoga.
Yes. No, hang on. I remember that story. There was this yogi, and the guy was
Bikram.
Yeah, he was basically, like, fondling all these women in the yoga class and, like, having sex with them. And they were, like, thinking he was part of the yoga, these dummies. Right?
Yes.
I
mean, you know, I don't know. I want to defend the dummies for a second. And the only reason I want to defend is, you know, he made it seem like it was a spiritual practice to get in touch with, like, source, divine energy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why they fell into it. They were seeking enlightenment.
Wow.
They just found it in the wrong places.
You know, that's all these cults, they all start off with this. They're always like, no, we're going to go on a spiritual journey. You know, any cult, and there's hundreds of them all over the world, and there's new ones starting every day. It always ends up with the guy in charge of the cult trying to have sex with all the women in the cult. Always. It's like a big excuse.
It's human nature.
I know, but...
Like, in specific...
But haven't...
It's that much control, Gareth, and then people are like, oh, my God, look at you.
No,
like, you're the best thing since sliced bread. And then all these women are just adoring you. And, to start a cult already, you have to have a certain pathology. But, you know, now you add all of that in, and you lose your mind.
The cult always boils down to weird, freaky, sexual shit. Always. These cult leaders always go... Well, you know, the final step in your journey is you gotta have sex with me. That's always what happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to become one. And we need to be in the same, you know, energy. I need to feed off your energy.
Right.
You need to feed off my energy. It's all about the energies and alignment, something like that.
And these stupid hoes. And these stupid hoes, they just go, okay. Sign
oh my
me up.
God.
Sign me up. I'm ready. Spiritual guru teacher.
Yeah. Spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah. Shall I bring my friend Candy? Yeah, bring her too. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. We'll all be joining in the fun here. This is great.
Oh my goodness.
Come on. People don't see this? You're kidding me.
No, but it's like, you know, I think a lot of people who end up, because it also takes a certain type of person to end up in these movements, right? It's never like when you watch all the documentaries, like Wild Wild Country and all these crazy things.
Yeah.
It's always the strange woman. No, sorry. I take that back. I was defending you. I was defending. My bad. I don't want to say strange, but they're going through things, you know.
Yes.
They are in a place where they're looking for hope. And
yes, there's a vulnerability.
Allows them to delegate responsibility.
But
yes.
All of these cults, and I'm talking about these ones where, you know, like the people go away to some place. There's always a place they go to. It's like and it's always away
from... The wellness center.
But it's always away from all the other people. And...
Mm-hmm.
They always separate you from your family, which should be like alarm bells, right? The moment the cult tries to pull you away from your family, you should be like, whoa, hang on. Even if you've got a shitty family, like, they should not be doing that. That's the first warning sign. It's like the cult leader's like, well, your family are a very bad influence on you, but if you come to me, then you'll
be fine. That's not how they put it.
Yes, they do.
What they say is something along the lines of, and after you've been in this thing, because I'm obsessed with the reading about cults, apparently. But after they put you on this, like, you know, whole thing of, like, you know, we're doing yoga together. We are a family. We are united. They don't say get away from your family. They'll word it a little differently. They'll say something along the lines of, you know, when people aren't on the spiritual path of enlightenment, they condemn your growth and life. You can come back and get them later.
Could, the way you talk now, you could be leading a cult for all we know. You sound like you've got this. You sound like you've got a whole game plan here. Like, you're working by the text.
Oh my goodness!
Candace is sitting there with a textbook of the cult, and she's going to be starting one, I'm telling you. She'd be like, okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, the spiritual journey that we're about to go on is going to take you away from your family, your friends, your job, and everything else. We're going to go into the country to this retreat in the mountains, and we're going to be naked the whole time. That's part of the plan. It says you're going to be naked the whole time, and we're all going to take all of these drugs. This handful of drugs is for you. Have the drug, and then... Ultimately, you will know that you are ready to enter the spiritual realm when I'm ready to enter you. That's how you know.
And then you get someone who's like, I'm ready. I shall follow you, master. Lead the way.
You know what? I'll say one thing. If I were to start my own cult, there would be very strict parameters on who enters, because I've seen who enters cults and they're just not my type of team most of the time. So you would have to send like a profile.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of be like Tinder for culting. You know, like, just let's see how you fit this profile.
Again, again, one bad apple will ruin the whole cult. So you can't so you can't let in someone who's very, very unattractive, or they have bad breath, or those nasty scaly feet that we were talking about earlier. You can't have them. They're going to spoil the cult, because you know what? No one's going to want to, you know, have sex with them in the cult, and then they're going to feel left out, and they're going to go and report the cult to the police, and that's all you need.
Oh my goodness, no. But you know what, I will not start a cult, because I know my current career path seems like it.
Yeah.
But I just want everyone who works with me to know it is not a cult.
Oh, man.
Yet. But it's okay, Candace. It's okay. You might be in denial at this moment in time. But you know,
I think there's
at this rate, we never know.
So apart from the having sex with all the women in the cult, these cult leaders also make a lot of money. They usually make a ton of, because they also persuade people to give up all their earthly possessions, right?
Yes.
And then what do? They don't give it up and like sell your stuff and give it to the poor or whatever. They was like, sell your stuff and then bring me the cash so we can buy more, I don't know, more comfortable suits for me, or a private jet for me.
No, yeah, it's like to feed the community in order to, it's usually stuff like, you know, you are sacrificing your earthly being in order to be united with a spiritual you. And all those earthly possessions are weighing you down. So let me unburden you with your earthly possessions, much like many marriages sometimes. So it's just like, just a very, you know, high level.
Yeah.
I'm not selling it. Hey, like, I'm just...
So,
it seems like you know way too much.
She's talking like she's been in one. So just seriously, before we go to headlines, which is just a couple of minutes away, just have you ever got close to this? Because I'll tell you what, a lot of people who go to some of these weird and novel churches, you know, those ones, for example, where the people ate the grass or they had the doom sprayed in their face, and remember all that stuff. Those, you could categorize some of those churches as cults. They're just... They hide under the blanket of you know, established religion. So the lines get very blurry. And I'll tell you what, some people have gone to a temple or a church or a whatever, and they've suddenly discovered, hey, this is a lot more culty than it is churchy. Because again, like the lines are a bit gray. You know? It's not all black and white.
And that is the problem. So I used to be in a very, like, you know, Catholic home, and then Christianity, like normal church. But then I started realizing that, you know, the prosperity churches started coming up. Like, and those are like, you know, Christianity with like, as long as you give me this, God's going to bless you.
You're going to get that. Give me 10,000. You'll get 100.
Give me your car. Amen. Let me drive in a Bentley, because your pastor can't be struggling, but you don't have bread.
When they say prosperity, a prosperity church is really only about the prosperity of the pastor, right?
Of course,
okay.
And the people that fall below him.
Then
they promise you the prosperity based on all the money you've tithed, and that is enriching them. And they're like, look at me. I come from nothing, and now I drive a Bentley. And it's like, yes, because of our money.
So what I do know is that there is this idea of tithing, which comes from, you know, some people say it's scriptural. It comes from the Bible, and part of it is learning to sacrifice. But my problem with that is, it's fine if you sacrifice that and you're putting into a savings account. Like, let's say you take 10% of what you've earned every month and you put it into a savings account. That is a good financial move. And then eventually, you know, you have a nice big pot of savings after a couple of years. Makes sense. But I don't get, like, these people who, and again, I haven't been to any of these churches, so I'm not in a great position to comment on them, but where they pass around the plate and there's a credit card machine on there, and people are, basically, people who are really struggling are giving way more than what the supposed tithe is meant to be, because there's pressure, right? You got these old ladies who feel that this is their key to the kingdom of heaven. They're like, well, if I don't give, and I don't give a lot, I'm not going to get in there. And I feel that that's a kind of a really disgusting kind of manipulation. I don't like any of that at all.
Yeah, me neither. And that's actually why I left the church. And it is exactly that, Gareth. There's a scripture in the Bible which speaks about, you know, how this woman gave her last bit of money to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they use. They're like, if this woman God blessed so much and she gave everything she had, imagine what God's going to do for you the more you give, right? And
exactly.
It's just a terrible, terrible way to live. And I think that's when I realized, like, hope is like such a strong currency. People sell hope all the time. And yep. I think it's a very dangerous commodity to be trading and selling because it can brainwash people and, you know,
well,
just really
again, there's so many people out there who are really having a hard time. Sometimes their lifeline, the only bit of hope they've got is the church. Now, if you're taking those people, especially if those people are struggling, you're taking their last bit of money, I think that is just criminal. And, you know, there have been all these guys who have been like Shepherd Bushiri, who they've discovered was, I mean, I don't know how that took them so long to work out this guy was a crook. All you should do is, you know how SARS does these lifestyle audits on people who've got, suddenly mysteriously got like 10 cars, like that Hamilton and Glover dude? They do those lifestyle audits and they go, ah, we can tell because of what he has, and he shouldn't have that. He's a crook. You know, there's no one who should have that from one government tender. There's also no pastor in the, and I don't care who these people are. I mean, I've seen some of them on TV. They got lots of money. And in America, it's even worse. They're these, I mean,
mega churches.
And these are not especially bright people who run them or, you know, people who've got any magical powers or whatever. They're just good at convincing other people to part with their money. And sometimes I think, oh, I should have done that rather than going to media, because it seems, no, because it seems like these guys have no conscience about taking from, you know, ordinary people.
Oh,
they don't care about
that.
Have you seen
the false prophets and what they say to people? It's disgusting where they'll be like, Gareth, your mom is a woman. Your dad is a man. You were born from a woman's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah. And that's what they say to people.
It's
just to convince them that
nonsense.
I know you, that your life story. I promise you, it's crazy.
No, but simply it's more like cold readings. Like, you know, when you go to like a tarot reader or a psychic.
Yeah.
The way they do very overgeneralized statements. Like, so they'll say something to Gareth like, wow, I can tell that you've worked hard. And obviously most people are going to associate with working hard.
Sure.
I can tell that, you know, you come from a particular place in time. Most of us do. You know, and then they'll start throwing around things, you know, like, did your mom ever tell you that you, when you were born, your gift was just that you had this magical look in your eyes. And that look was always destined to get you to where you are. And all you have to do for the rest of this reading is text me at Candace. No, I'm kidding.
Right. But you just, you and Sabina.
And they just have a bit more like, like, you know, hallelujah, won't God do it? Praise the Lord. Speak to me. Hallelujah. Like they have that, hallelujah.
And they breathe.
Yes, Candace. And then,
Lord, yes, give me the.
And then you need someone else dancing around you on the floor just to bring the vibe, you know.
And then they have to push you. They have to, there's always like a pushing of, and you have to fall and you.
So I feel, I always feel half and half on this. Okay. Like half of me is, you shouldn't be doing this to gullible people because it's taking advantage of them. Maybe when their life isn't going so well, they've hit bad times. You shouldn't abuse those people by then trying to take things from them. And if they're especially, if they're gullible, then that's, you're a bad person if you do that. But the other side of it is like, well, if you're that gullible, maybe you should be taken advantage of because money doesn't flow uphill. No, I know, but it's like gambling, right? If you see someone in a casino on a Monday morning with their whole pension pressing that machine in the casino, that's on them, I'm afraid. Like, I can't, you know, if you build a casino, you're not evil for building a casino. Some people are dumb enough to throw their money into those machines. That's you. You're being smart. You're making a profit. I don't see how, you know, it's outside of people's job to then defend you and protect you from, because you're going to find other ways to spend your money stupidly. So I kind of think, no, I'm telling you. So, you know, the person who doesn't go to the casino, maybe they'll spend their money on drugs, or they'll spend their money on church, or they'll, whatever. They're going to find a way to waste away their money. And that's probably, in some cases, why some people are poor. Because they just can't hang on to the money. They everywhere they go, there's either someone smarter than them who's taking the money from them, blatantly, which I do still think is wrong, or they're just giving it away stupidly, which is also wrong. But some of that responsibility is on them.
A little bit, but also I just want to say that I think, okay, so firstly I want to caveat everything I've said this morning with I do believe in psychics. I do. I just want, the masses out there to know, because some people are going to listen and be like, but you like psychics. I do. So, but coming back to the people, like, you know, I think when you're in a place of that mental desperation, what you really need is a mindset shift. You don't need to be spending all your money. It's just that I think so many people are growing up, but they've got these little kids inside them that they never healed. And so, like, it's the little kid inside them that's, we're like throwing up their credit cards, you know, like spending money on booze. I think that's where we need to start. We need to heal ourselves and our connection to money, so that it doesn't burn a hole in our pocket every time it enters our bank account. And I think people who grow up with a better family structure around money tend to spend money better than those who've never had money and start making new money.
I just think if we tax the religious institutions, you tax the churches, and you tax the cults, it'll help. I think that's that. And I don't like government getting money. I really don't. I'd rather have the churches have money. So this is also a contentious argument. But I do think the way to stop these, what do you call them, prosperity churches from taking advantage of people is you tax them. Because these pastors, they shouldn't be getting this money out of people. They really shouldn't. I mean, even if people are giving it up voluntarily, it's just, it doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. Let's look at some headlines. There is quite a lot to get into this morning. First things first, petrol prices are going to go lower today, but diesel users face another hike. There used to be a time where it was like obvious if you like diesel was cheaper, so it made sense to have a diesel car. Clearly that's all bullshit now, because petrol goes up sometimes and then diesel goes up more. So apparently the petrol price, both 93 and 95, will be cut by 12 cents a litre, while diesel goes up 98 cents a litre. Oh. That's a hell of a fucking steep increase. Oh. Huh?
Yeah. That's almost 1 rand. That's a jacksy. Yeah.
So I don't know how this works, but paraffin is also going up by 79 cents a litre, which is crazy, right? That's a lot.
Man.
So local,
and then petrol only went down 12. Yeah, so 12 cents.
I don't know what this means. Local fuel prices determined by international oil prices as well as the dollar rand value. So why does one go up and the other one down? Isn't diesel and petrol, they come from the same stuff?
No idea. And I've always just been told, like, thankfully when I got my car recently, it only had a, and also I was an idiot for buying a car when petrol prices were skyrocketing. I was so sad.
Yeah.
I was like, please tell me it comes with a full tank, because I don't know how much longer I can save for petrol. But it's so interesting to me, because everyone was like, diesel is so much cheaper. Diesel is so much cheaper. And when I looked at the prices, I was like, is diesel cheaper? Because it always looks like they're just always playing that little game. And petrol will rise by like 1 rand and drop by 10 cents.
I know.
Always. It's like,
And then everyone's like, the petrol price is coming down a whole 12 cents. But you forget that you've just been screwed like 2-3 months before when it went up by 2 rand. You're like, huh?
Yep. Sure.
Right. Agreed. Dumb and horrible. Who knows how it works? But for diesel people, bend over. There's much pain ahead. All right. I like the fact that Trevor Noah went on The Daily Show and asked people to donate to Gift to the Givers. You may have heard that story over the weekend. He actually announced it on his show. He's like, please give some money to Gift to the Givers. They are helping people in KZN with all the flood relief. And he did this on his show, which he didn't have to do. That's nice of him to do. So, again, thank you, Trevor. Very, very good. Helping along the people of KZN who've really, like the riots last year, the the floods this year, it's been a really tough time.
Yeah.
And then this is very interesting. Apparently, ZANU PF youth leader Tarai Kandishaya mobilized the ruling party's supporters to go to Zimbabwean journalist Hopewell Chinoro's village in Murewa on Sunday, threatening to invade and forcibly take possession of his goats. This could only happen in Zimbabwe, right? But this is not in like some website that the fake news stuff. This is actually in one of our local newspapers. And in a series of tweets, this guy accused this farmer of benefiting from a state-sponsored agricultural program and incited young people to go and get this guy's goats.
It wouldn't be like the goat in and of itself, but what the goat symbolizes. I'd assume
they're taking the goats. They're taking the actual goats.
I mean, in the sense of, you know, taking livestock. If the farmer is selling livestock, or he's, you know, using the livestock himself, by taking the goats, they're essentially taking his income. I don't know. Would that not be the case?
Candace, this is above my pay grade, but I don't know why anyone would farm goats. Maybe that's all they got left in Zim. Zimbabwe has always been a bit weird, so I'm not sure if I can add more value to this. But I will say that this is the state of the Zimbabwean economy, is that now you have politicians saying, go and steal that person's goats. This is when, you know, country's lost all kind of self-respect. It's just, this is a disaster. Right?
Yeah, sure. The fact that it's also traveling across border, you know, like sometimes it's like the stuff that happens in your family should be kept in your family. You know what I'm saying?
And no, we
like,
shouldn't know about
as
this.
As soon as it leaves, everyone else is like, oh,
this is embarrassing.
I always knew they were weird. You know, like that's the thing. Like sometimes you got to contain your borders and what gets out. Like it's just, yeah.
And then this is great news. Apparently, Defence Web editor Guy Martin says that budget cuts are affecting the South African National Defence Force's ability to protect its own bases. He says budget constraints are hampering the maintenance of the force's serviceable fleet. The ability of South Africa's Defence Force to protect its own military bases and facilities has come into question amid a growing civilian threat. The Special Forces School at Murray Hill, north of Pretoria, is reportedly under siege by shack dwellers who have been stealing electricity cables and illegally connecting water infrastructure. This is from the Special Forces School, and a bunch of squatters are stealing their electricity and water.
What we said prior, when I was so on my high horse about like things leaving that like and going that way.
Yeah.
Well, this is no better. Like, I mean, the fact that we are like, these are the people that are going to serve and protect us, and they're supposed to be so much more intellectually, you know, well-rounded.
Militarily trained. Yeah, I mean, this is so... So these are our special forces. So these are supposedly the people who, like when we've really got shit going down, like those riots last year where we needed to figure out there was an insurrection or a coup. These are the people that they call, and they don't have any water or electricity because all the squatters have stolen their stuff. This is a military base. Unbelievable.
Wait, so essentially what they're saying is that they can't protect themselves against squatters.
Right.
That's what they're saying. Right. They themselves.
So we've got no chance. I'm sorry to say this again. We haven't had to say this for a long time on the show. But my fellow South Africans, if you are in shit, you are on your own. The military is not coming to help you.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me wonder.
I don't know about any of you, but I've always felt like South Africa's safest place is just to keep quiet and keep peace in the world, like kind of like Switzerland does, because we have no choice.
Yeah.
If we were to, we cannot be choosing sides in anything. No. We can't be too volatile, because I'm just like, firstly, who are we sending? Number one. Number two, who are we keeping to protect us as citizens?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all we have is clowning sense of humor. Like, we can make you laugh, but laughing is not going to keep us safe. You know what I'm
You're
saying?
So right. You're so right. We are screwed. If we look for trouble with an international power, they will come in.
I know.
I mean, listen,
I will surrender. I'll be like, guys, you can take me. I'm going to that country. What do you need of me? I Guys, I'm out. It was nice knowing you guys, but clearly we're not winning this war, so I'm on their side already.
But that's the typical example of like rock and hard place, because so many countries in the world that I've visited are super patriotic in the sense of like, they're like, you know, if you turn on your country, if you walk away from your country, you're a traitor and we don't want traitors. Now you would be a traitor being like, I surrender already. They're like, we haven't even done anything. We've just arrived. Like, take me. What are
take
you
me.
Doing?
Yeah.
Take
and
me.
You would
take
be absconding.
And you're not.
And I promise you, I won't be the only one. I promise
so
you.
So why?
The whole of South Africa would go with me. We would not be like, take us.
Like, I hate to be obvious about this, but then we spend billions every year on the Defence Force, right? And they are, what, for them to parade at the opening of Parliament? Because that's the only time we really see them doing it. And I don't want to be unfair. There may be people who are working hard behind the scenes. There may be people in the Defence Force who are doing a really good job. I don't know. But when I hear stories like this, I'm like, well, if we're not even... If we don't have anyone to protect the people who are meant to protect us, and they can't even look after their own military bases, why are we even bothering with this? Like, just dissolve the whole thing. Because clearly we don't have a military that is able to do anything. Then what's the point of having them?
And also, like, I think because we so, like, our whole media structure is built around consuming international, like, you know, whether it's BBC, whether it's American content, and we see, like, what they look like, in terms of, like, what their special forces look like, what they're supposed to do, protect, deliver their intellect, and you compare it to ours, and it just completely pales in comparison. We, like, there's no, we have to negotiate with terrorists. We just don't have a choice. Like, it's not going to be like, you know, like,
well,
we don't negotiate. Please negotiate. Please see what we can do here.
Well, we don't have a choice. I mean, like, Simpiwe is joking about it and you're joking about it. But the fact is, like, if some crappy little country like Lesotho or something, because really Lesotho's got, I reckon they could even, if they catch us by surprise, they could get quite, they could get quite far. Because, I mean, you know, let's say Lesotho decides one morning, we want to take the Free State. Like, I don't think it's that impossible that they would take it. I don't,
true.
There might be a few civilians with guns, but the military, what are they, can you see our military marching into the mountains? The first thing they'll do is like, it's too far. And they'll say,
I know.
It's too cold.
Too cold.
They're not paying me enough.
Oh. The mere fact is, an officer on TikTok, he is a South African police officer. He's on TikTok, and he dances. Like, he'll dance in his uniform and do these TikTok tricks. The mere fact is, there's somebody doing that. What a joke, my darling. No, it's tickets. If anybody, decides and actually sits down and is like, this is how I'm going to attack South Africa. No. I'm sorry, I'm the first one to be like, you know what? Take me. I'm with you. What do you need of me? Oh, okay. This is because we're not serious with our own police service. TikTok dancing.
I don't know though. Like, part of me wonders what that is, right?
Like, you're not a serious country when you've got someone doing that on TikTok. You're not, and I'm sure there are people in the American military who are doing it too. You're embarrassing everyone. Don't. If you're in the armed forces, be like one of those people who go, wow, that's a soldier. That's the person we can rely on when the shit hits the fan. Don't be an embarrassing TikTok dancer. In fact, no one on earth should be an embarrassing TikTok dancer. Just say no. Just don't do it. Like, it's dumb.
You know what? I think people are, there's a term called clout demons, like, which is like people will do anything for clout, you know, in today's society. It's like there's no parameters and barometers of like, hey, this may be a stupid idea or this is not morally correct or whatever. People are just doing everything to try and get that moment of fame online.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So speaking of fame online, here's the most famous creature in South Africa at the moment. This is a cow that is just stopped and started drinking water from a pothole. Now, this is such a South African scene. If you aren't on the YouTubes and you're listening to us, it's basically a road that is completely covered in potholes. I don't know how anyone manages to drive. And one of the cattle that lives somewhere near this road has walked into the middle of it and is just having a casual drink from the pothole in the middle of the road. There is probably no more South African scene than that, right?
Yeah.
It makes me so sad, though, because we've got such a great country, right? Like, in terms of, like, the people, what it looks like, all of it. And I think it's just, like, such poor planning on our end. And I do get it. Like, you know, thank God we aren't where we used to be. But we also need to start moving a little bit faster now, because I'm like, okay, we've been making a few excuses for a few years now. We were first getting our rhythm on the salsa floor. Now we're like, okay, no. There's no one that's going to dance lessons here.
So South Africa, if you date our, let's say our birthday was the 27th of April, we just celebrated freedom the other day in 1994. That makes us a 27-year-old, isn't it? 28-year-old. Yes. Now what? Yes. If you're still a stupid idiot who's like living in your parents' house and begging them for everything, and you've got no job prospects, and you're playing video games all day, and you eat like really bad food, and you get fat, and you just become like an embarrassment to your family, and you're 27, 28 years old. That's when you should be left out to dry, because you need to, at some point, I agree with Candace, like, we had the excuse in the beginning. We were, you know, this young democracy. We had to figure out our dance moves. Now we're turning into that creepy kid who stays with their parents way too long. That's what I think we are.
The creepy person is just not trying to get their life together. And correct. I think that's my problem with it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I think the one thing that, like, I've got to call South Africa out on is just complacency. Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting to these places of just massive amounts of complacency. No real movement, no real action, but a lot of talk. It's like, you know, you match with someone on a dating site and it's just like talk. But they never actually execute the actions. It's like, geez, man. Like, eventually you got to unmatch and move on. Like, I think we have to get to that point at some stage.
I just want to see if my lights are on yet. Hang on a second. This is very exciting. We're going to have a reveal. Are the lights on?
Dun, 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 dun. We're going to see if Garrett's lights are on, ladies and gentlemen. Who says the lights are on?
Sorry.
Yes? No? Nah, maybe?
No luck. Nah. Still not on.
Are they not on? Okay. Oh, sorry. Mine became on.
Your
lighting got even better. Wait. Your lighting got even better. Okay, Candace.
I can't help it. It's living in Cape Town. I pay for all this free free lighting stuff.
Zuzile says, welcome to South Africa. In my hood, cows and especially goats are part of the CBD in Hlabisa and Nongoma. Those are in KZN. Well, you know what? If you've got them living in the CBD, I mean, that's quite something. Those
living the life.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Wild, right?
Okay. That's different. As I'm driving, and then do we wait for the goat to pass?
Yes, you do.
That kind of traffic.
You do not.
That kind of traffic. I was stuck in traffic because a goat wouldn't move.
It happens. I'll tell you what. You do not want to be a person whose car crashes into a cow. You first of all,
you're not surviving.
You might not. You might not, because a cow is a substantial thing. I mean, obviously the cow will be very badly hurt too, so we don't want to like make fun of the cow. But let me tell you, your car comes off second best. Your car does not do well. There have been all these stories about people. If you hit like a kudu or one of those other big antelope, forget about it. You're not going to just start your car and drive on. You are that thing will take you out. I mean, especially if you're driving a little skorokoro, because then you're in big trouble. If you're driving something substantially bigger, maybe you've got a 50-50 chance. But I've heard stories about like people driving on farm roads late at night, and they'll hit like a cow, and it's terrible. It's really bad. Like you're not going to just drive on. It's not like hitting a dove on the road or like. You know, you see those little, like, those unfortunate roadkill animals on the way to, like, Durban or whatever. This is serious. Like, you hit one of those big things, you're finished.
Oh, I've seen it, like, driving to and from different farm and rural places. And you see it, like, the cars are either, you know, worse for wear, the people are worse for wear, the animals worse for wear. It's just, all of it is just bad for everyone involved. Yeah. And like you said, I think I was traumatized once when I hit a bird driving. Yeah. I was so traumatized and shaken. I didn't listen to music. I was like, My God.
You just killed an animal. Like, what? No.
I just killed a, like, I was like, oh my gosh, my juju must be so bad right now. I need to go sage. What is happening? What are the omens trying to tell me? Did I just kill my good luck?
Right. You know?
Oh, no. But Candace, haven't you noticed, like, birds of today are quite stubborn. You will wait for them fly off. Like, you need to recruit maybe and be like, girl, get a move. Come on now. Like,
you gotta move.
And it's just like,
there are these really I'm so glad you brought that up. There's some really stupid doves and pigeons that live in my neighborhood. And they walk around on the roads, especially after it's rained. They'll be on the road, and then there's like that steam coming off the road in summer.
Mm.
And these birds are so goddamn stupid that your car is literally on top of them before they fly away. And sometimes they just...
Oh, my gosh.
They look around I don't think they're stubborn.
Oh, I
don't know if they're stubborn or stupid, but either way, they're going to get killed.
Oh, man, that's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, like, all about the omens. I'm, like, I'm not trying to kill all my good luck in the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm, like, one bird was a warning shot from the angels and sky.
Yeah, you're not.
Too many birds. It's like, that's an assassination.
Yeah, you don't want to be, like, the bird killer with your car whenever you get to your destination, you have to, like, you have to scrape the animals off the grill of your car because now you've been you've been on a wild rampage.
The bird assassin strikes again. It hits the news front page.
Okay. Guys, Candace has just arrived. Oh, we've got some food for lunch. Scrape the pigeons and ducks off the front of the car.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so John brings up the road to Sun City. I've taken that road many times. There must be thousands of people who've been killed by hitting cattle. There are always cattle on that road to Sun City. And the other place that I went it was a long time ago. It was probably about 10, maybe 13 years ago. I drove through the Transkei from East London all the way through the Transkei up to Mthatha. And I was driving on my own in a rental car. Let me tell you, that road is not for sissies. First of all, there are potholes, and there are some really windy little pieces when you go through the mountains and things. And then there are livestock. There are cattle. There are goats. There are sheep. There are all kinds of animals on those roads. You have to keep your wits about you. If you're traveling there at night, you've finished. I mean, better that you just stop and drive in the morning. You know, it's not worth it. Just book in wherever you can. Ask someone for a bed. Just stop. If you're going to drive through the Transkei at night, not a good plan.
Oh, and there's still going to be people who do it. But
So I was talking to two friends of my sister's because they were at her place for lunch. And they were telling me about this story where they basically went through the mountains in America. Now, they were visiting family there. But they didn't know about snow chains and, you know, mountain roads or any of that stuff. And they basically, this harrowing story, I'm just going to summarize it. But these guys were basically, you know, this close to kind of not making it because they took a road. They closed off the main road through the mountains because there was heavy, heavy snow. So they thought, oh, well, we'll just take this roundabout route. We'll Google another route. And they ended up driving through this place. First of all, they were running very low on fuel. Second of all, it was coming down hard, the snow. There was a big, big problem. They might not have made it. You know?
Wow.
And they were telling me this story, and the whole story was like, I had goosebumps the whole time because it was literally, it's an environment South Africans don't know, because what do we know about snow? Right? You find yourself in a situation like that, you don't know how to get out of the snow. It's bloody terrifying. It's really, really wild. So I suppose we shouldn't complain about the odd cow or goat that crosses our roads when if you lived in a country with serious snow and ice and I mean you just they were saying that there were cars where you just saw the rear taillights of the cars and they'd just gone off the road and they were just like parking there. And if you got trapped in that kind of snow, I mean you might not make it through the night because it's freezing cold. And your car's now not, you're not going to be able to keep the heater on. And even if the heater's on, it's not going to work so well at minus whatever it is, 20 degrees or something. That's scary.
Wow. That is petrifying. And also, I think it's that idea that the grass is always greener, right? Mm. We look at our issues and we're like, these are the most severe, terrible issues in the world. And then you like start looking at these different situations and you're like, I'll take my pothole and a random cow maybe.
Right.
You know, as opposed to like the snow or, but also like America, like I did a road trip in the US and I remember for me, it was such an eye opener because I remember thinking like all we were sold about America was very one very specific image, right? Like so sophisticated, so bougie, everyone's got their life together. And then we took an off-ramp between North Carolina and Atlanta, and we ended up in this town. When I say I have never seen such broken-down things and people and girls in my life, I was petrified. Like, so we drive through this little town, and when I say I saw a dog, and I am not exaggerating, with one tooth at the top, one tooth at the bottom. When I saw his owner, and the owner had a similar like look. I was like, this is, we are incredible. Where the hell are we? Get me out of Dodge. It was the craziest experience.
Yeah. No, you make a big mistake if you think everyone in the country is the same. I mean, especially a huge country like America, but even in South Africa, there's certain neighborhoods you go into, even in Joburg, man. You know, you suddenly think you're in the Twilight Zone. It's like, what the hell is going on around me here? This is not right. This is not where I should be.
True, and let's not forget Davelsdorf. You know, so there was a whole cult running in Krugersdorp. So
you see, we've come full circle. We end up back. We end up back with cults. This is where we started this morning, and now we're back with the cults. So please, everybody, promise us that you know we've got the new month of May. We're already well into May. We're going into winter. No matter how cold and lonely you get this winter. And no matter how desperate you are for whatever, firewood, warmth, food, companionship, please don't join a cult. We would prefer you didn't. You know, like, life is never that bad. And Sanele says, from cult leader to psychic to bird murderer, Candace has lived. Yes, she lived.
One life, Candace, like a wild life. You know?
As Kourtney Kardashian would say, you can't say we didn't live life, so you're right.
Spot on. All right, when we come back, we will get to Revix with Sean Saunders. We're going to check in with him and see what's going on in the world of cryptocurrency. We also got a guest joining us this morning, Richard Hardiman, who is the founder and CEO of Rand Marine Technology, and also a former journalist, broadcaster, and TEDx speaker you may know. His name is well known all across South Africa, and we're going to catch up with him, check in with him, and see what he's up to. So all of that is coming up. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday with Candace Mama and Simpi Wim Tetwa. CliffCentral.com.